الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى is our Lord, our Creator, and the one who doesn't need anything, who does not need anything, and it is His compassion and mercy that He has given us an opportunity to be successful or be kings and rulers forever and ever in Jannah. But the matter to consider it, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get from it? What will He get from it? He doesn't need our thankfulness. He doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our worship. Even the pleasures of paradise, if there are whores in paradise, it's the human beings who are going to benefit from them. If there are palaces in paradise, it is the human beings who is going to benefit from them. If they are going to have beauty, it is they who are going to benefit from them. Even to the extent that from the beauty of Allah, it is the human being who is going to benefit from. And from our beauty, which in Jannah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us, our beauty, He is not going to benefit from us. So you can just imagine the needlessness and samadiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allahu samad. That nor in dunya Allah Azza wa Jalla has any benefit from us. We serve Him, do not serve Him. We pray to Him, we do not pray to Him. No, actually, greatness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor His status decreases, nor He is harmed, nor He is benefited. In the next world, in the barzakh, nor there, nor on the day of judgment, nor in even if we go in Jannah, still there, from the blessings of Jannah, we are going to benefit not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even when we will look at the blessed face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessed vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the greatest blessing, even from that we take enjoyment, we will take pleasure, we will enjoy, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As such, He does not benefit. So can you imagine about such a being that who have not the minutest benefit in whatsoever the creation does? And what can one say? It is sheer mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that He has created us from dust and will make us and we have the potential to be made into forever being in Jannah and with our bodies and enjoying the pleasures of Jannah and ruling like kings in our own Jannah. And what is this other than the mercy, the compassion, the fazl the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these discourses specifically are for this achieving this pleasure, because it is a great opportunity which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And if someone does not take this opportunity, then they deserve punishment really. They deserve very great punishment, because such a great opportunity that when Allah has no share in it, no benefit in it, and He's just giving you an opportunity to enjoy forever, be kings forever, for the women to be queens forever, and then this person doesn't take that opportunity, but goes into the hands of shaitan, feet of shaitan, and makes himself deserving hell, then this is the actually end result. It's the end result of unthankfulness. So this is the solution and guidance actually, which Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in their own time, they gave according to the teachings of their time and the sharia of their time. Every prophet, they taught the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were da'i, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nazira wa da'iyan ilallahi bi'izni. That one who calls to Allah with the permission of Allah. This means the person who will call to Allah with the permission of Allah, there will be a different barakah, blessing, if someone follows them. So similarly, there are awliya and saliheen who are ma'azoon, who has spiritually been permitted from Allah and His Messenger to convey the message. So anyone who listens, obeys them, they will see different barakahs, blessings, miracles, other things. And who themselves are not mazoon, because they themselves are not corrected themselves, and they themselves are lost, so they are going to say same things, write books, but there will be no benefit for people in there. That is why mostly you will find in the history of Islam even, those ulama's knowledge, the knowledge of those ulama have benefited the ummah who has some relationship with the Sufiya and Ahlullah, and they had relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inwardly, outwardly, very strong relationship, like the Sahaba, Tabi'in, and after the Awliya Saliheen. Other, they were many, many great scholars of words, of books, and they've written wonderful books, meaning some has written books without a dot. They have written full tafsir without a dot. For example, just imagine if someone said to us, write two sentences in Urdu Arabic without that, we'll have difficulty. There's a dot under ba, there are two dots over ta, sa has three dots, jim has a dot, kha has a dot, then zal has a dot, za has a dot, sheen has dot, dad has za and ghain, fa, qaf, noon. Most of them have dots. But they were such mastery over knowledge they had, that they wrote books, a tafsir of Quran without dots at all. And in our time, there's a scholar maybe living now as well, in Pakistan, he has written the seerah of Rasulullah ﷺ without a dot in it. It's written in Urdu, but there is no dot in it. It's called Hadi-e-Alam. You see the name he has actually mentioned, that doesn't have a dot, nor ki awaaz thoda uncha kare aur echo ko thoda kam kare. So Hadi-e-Alam means actually the Alam means the world, and Hadi means the guide. So the guide for the world, he's named it Hadi Alam. And the entire book of few hundred pages or so is without any dot. And he's written the full life story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the full seerah. So imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such knowledge to certain people, they have developed knowledge, but the beneficial knowledge came from the people who had relationship with Ahlullah, with the pious and awliya. Many of them, they have not written books. Many of the awliya, most of them you find in the shajara, they have not written books. Hazrat Nizamuddin awliya, Sheikh Fariduddin Ganjshakar, and these people, Sheikh Abdul Aziz Dabba, Sheikh Abul Hasan Ali Shazili, and many of the previous, their books were their people, their students, they were their books. And if you go above, then all of them, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has not written a book. He has not written even a Quran. He would speak and people would protect and preserve and memorize and retain it in their memory, and then they have written books, and these are the books of hadith which you know.
Iska vaaz thoda uncha kar de aur ye jo aa rahi hai na dusri vaaz isko jis tarah pehle hota hai naam jo karte hain.
So in the hadith which you find, they are not written by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are written by people who came after. Some Sahaba, they also wrote books, but many of the books like of hadith, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Tirmidhi, they were the people who came after. They were the people who came after, and they wrote. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself had not written a book. अच्छा थोड़ा रुक जाते, we'll just have a break, brother, he actually manages.
सर ये ठीक कर ले, फिर शुरू करते हैं, कुछ ये disturb बहुत कर रहे हैं. ये जो आवाज आ रही है ना, ये थोड़ी चीखने की, इसको जरा दूर हो जाए.
If कोई बंदा आ जाए थोड़ा पढ़ दे ताकि ये ठीक हो जाए. If someone comes in front and reads something.
इसमें पढ़ें, इसमें उसमें शायद ना हो.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون.
ابھی بھی ٹھیک ہے، یہ جو آواز آ رہی ہے ساتھ ساتھ اسپیکر دی، یہ دیکھے وہ یہ ایکو کی یا چیز یہ خراب کر رہی ہے، باقی ٹھیک.
استغفر الله تعالى لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد.
So yesterday we finished on this diagram, mainly we summarized it all, the teachings which has been mentioned here. Today we are just going to explain how the four stages of purification, they relate to the objectives. For example, that how does the four stages here, 1, 2, 3, 4, preserving the body from sins, trying to abstain from the sins of the body, which means that a person firstly saving their seven organs of the body from the sin, then actually thinking and planning, which is the work of mind, to save the mind from the sinful thinking and connecting it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, the purification of the heart, the inner ailments or illnesses or bad qualities which are in the person. And fourthly, the enlightenment. So mashallah, you are aware of the, we don't need to go in detail of these four stages, but just to explain that how this is going to help you to achieve these four objectives. How these four, this bridge or these four stages will help you to achieve the four objectives. Just imagine that a person who is asked to stop from sinful speech, not to speak in a sinful way. How does this relate to the four objectives? For example, preferring the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the compassion upon creation, fulfilling the rights of creation and giving them rather more, and also the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we take the example of only the tongue sheet. A person who is practicing the tongue sheet, wo mujhe de de wo dusra speaker shayad usse sahi ho jaye, isko pehle test kar liya kare, یہ جو ہے نا بعد میں پھر. So we will take the example of the sheet of the tongue. For this reason, a person who is, let's say, stopping from ghibat or from, let's say, backbiting in English, or lying, how they are is related to preferring the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is referring to that when a person will stop lying or stop committing ghibat,
This shows that there was an amr of Allah, it is the command of Allah, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْدًا. Don't backbite each other. So this is like a command of Allah. Then there are commands of the nafs and shaitan and people, what they want to hear from you, what you would like to say, and what shaitan is also encouraging you to say. So when you have stopped from committing ghibah, you have been giving preference to Allah's command. No matter, it's on a very, very low level, very, very minute level. It is a very small level, that it is only one organ, and from one organ, it is referring to only one sin which one can do with this organ. But when a person is acting upon it, how it is helping him to achieve this, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he is preferring over one organ of the body, which is the tongue, he is giving preference to Allah. So he is not giving preference to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over his whole body, like man's eyes, they are not yet. He's not there yet. So that's why we say that he is here yet. But everything here is related to 1, 2, 3, 4. These four things. Anything a person does with his body will have a relationship with Allah's command, will have a relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, which will have a relationship with the creation, and it will have a relationship with the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person who is only controlling one organ, not his heart, not his mind, not his six organs of the body, but one organ, the tongue only, so he is giving preference to Allah's command, that not to use it against the command of Allah, he is giving preference to Allah in regard to the tongue only. So although he has given it to tongue only, but he started the journey. He started to give preference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah has 1,000 commands, he started with the one command. So this is going to again and again, every day, it is going to establish and make the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established in that person stronger and stronger and stronger. You see, it is related to it. How stopping using sinful speech is related to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How that is, Prophet ﷺ's tongue never spoke a lie. It never committed riba. So in a way, it will be said that Prophet ﷺ's tongue didn't do any sin. So a person who will stop partially, stop sinning with his tongue or her tongue, now he is resembling more to Rasulullah's speech now. Now his tongue is used more like Rasulullah's speech. Because he is one organ, he is at the stopping. And Prophet Islam did not commit riba or namima, which is, or slandering, or any of these things. Now this person also is stopping from it, so he is more closer to sunnah. So he is following a sunnah in a way, but a very necessary sunnah. That is a necessary sunnah of Prophet ﷺ, which was in him, that he would not use his tongue in a sinful way. So when this person is not using, he is closer to sunnah. So you see now only how the tongue part is related to Rasulullah ﷺ. So each of these things help you to get there. How does the compassion upon creation, if that quality comes in you when you use the tongue sheet, for example? if comes in you, because it was the right of creation not to lie to them, not to backbite, not to speak ill of them, not to put allegations, not to give them bad reputation. It was the right of creation. So when a person is stopping his tongue from all violation of these rights, he is actually having compassion upon creation. He is fulfilling the rights of the creation. So you see, only the tongue part, how it is related to all three. Now the fourth one, the presence of Allah. How this is helping this person, that when this person is abstaining, stopping from abusing his tongue in fast or outside the fast, abusing his tongue in a sinful way in relation to other people, if he stops, he is stopping for, because he is accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He thinks that Allah will ask me about you. He thinks that angels are writing it and it will be presented to Allah. So this also is helping him to be in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more, because that stopping from the sin remind him definitely of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he is stopping. But he is at a very low level yet. So this person's abstaining from the sins of all the seven organs strengthen his relationship with Allah, his relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his relationship with the creation becomes better, and his internal state regarding the presence of Allah also becomes stronger. So this is in relation to the first stage. The second stage, which is the purification of the mind, this also relates to the four objectives. How does this relate? For example, if he does think about sin, he thinks about goodness, that is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That seek refuge from the waswas of shaitan. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. Seeking refuge in Allah from the waswas and bad force of shaitan, whispers of shaitan. So meaning, using the mind in a sinful way was actually a shaitanic act. Now he is not using it sinful way, so this means he is following the amr of Allah. He is giving the command of Allah preference. وہ اللہ کے حکم کو ترجیح دے رہا ہے غلط سوچ نہ سوچ کر. تو اس طرح جو ہے یہ اس درجے پہ چلنا بھی اس میں یہ صفت لائے گا. دس اٹس دا کوالٹی آف فالوئنگ اللہ سبحانہ کا کمانڈ از گوئنگ ٹو کم ان ہیم. اٹس دا لو لیول, وہ ابھی جزوی طور پر صرف کر رہے ہیں, اونلی آن دا لیول آف مائنڈ یٹ, بٹ اٹ از گوئنگ. ہاؤ اٹ ریلیٹس ٹو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, very clearly, Prophet Islam's mind never thought, planned about sin. So when he has stopped, his mind is now more resembling Rasulullah's mind and his way of thinking. Although he can't reach the same level ever, but he has started, he is now more like Rasulullah than like Shaitan. Firstly, he was like shaitan, he was using his mind like shaitan, thinking evil, planning sin, and doing all these crafty, fantasizing and living in the paradise of fools and all these things he was doing. Now, he has stopped doing that, so his mind now has become now more like Rasulullah than shaitan. Firstly, he was shaitan. So, you can see how the purification of the mind relates to Rasulullah's throne. How it relates to creation? Because when a person will not think evil, he won't do evil. And when he doesn't do evil, the creation will be saved from his evil planning. He is not going to plan against a brother, a sister, or people to harm them in any way. So when he does that, this is a compassion of a creature. That quality gradually is coming in the person. How the presence of Allah will come in him, so this is because he is stopping, he is even controlling his thoughts. He is controlling his thoughts as well. Why? Because no one is aware of his thoughts. People are not aware of what he is thinking. But he has now a stronger presence of Allah. He thinks that Allah even knows what I am thinking. Allah knows what I am thinking, and if I do plan bad, Allah will know, so I am not going to. So this also gradually builds the presence of Allah in his mind as well. The third stage, how it relates to the four commands, which is purification of the heart. Let's say a person is jealous. A person stops being jealous. How it relates to Allah's command? Because it is Allah's command not to be jealous about people, regarding people, not to be jealous on their blessings which Allah has given them. Really, the person who is jealous, he is raising an objection on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the blessings are distributed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He distributes the blessings of dunya and different kinds of preferences which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the creation. So a person who says, why this person have a good car? He is really objecting on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has given him, and he is objecting on him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why the jealousy eats the virtue, because a person is objecting on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْدَ أُنَا بَعْدِ فِرِزْ. Allah has granted abundance of this, or more this for one person over the other. It is Allah's will. Why? Because it is the time of test. Some are tested through poverty, some are tested through being given rizq, through richness. Richness is not only a blessing, but it is a test as well. Poverty is not only suffering, but it is a test as well at the same time. So let's say this person now, from many of the illnesses of heart, he just stops being jealous of people. So what he is doing is, he is following his nafs says to be jealous, shaitan says to be jealous, people are doing such things, showing off their blessing to him, they are asking him, inviting him for jealousy. But he follows the command of Allah, amar of Allah, he doesn't. So that's how on the third stage also, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become more strongly established. How it is related to Rasulullah sallam, very clearly, his heart was pure from jealousy. When your heart had jealousy, it resembled your heart was more like shaitan. Look, shaitan had jealousy to Adam al-Islam, and he still is jealous of human beings. He still is jealous, same way he was jealous to Sayyidina Adam our father, he is jealous of his sons and daughters. So that is why, although he has many other things to do, but he has made his big mission just to lead people at the astray and throw him. He has children, he has big government, shaitanic world, but that's what the job he has taken. And where he's coming from is jealousy now. He doesn't takabbar with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's gone now. Now he is not asked to prostrate in front of anyone, and what he is doing now is just the manifestation of jealousy. That they will get to Jannah and I will expel from there. These people are going to go in Jannah and I am expelled from it. So that basis, if someone has this, so his heart is more like shaitan. It's very clear. The shaitan has jealousy, his heart has jealousy. If your heart is free from jealousy, then it means Rasulullah's heart didn't have jealousy. So your heart is now more closer to Sunnah, is more closer to the heart of Rasulullah. So you internally, your heart also is becoming closer to the Sunnah of Rasulullah. You see how this second objective or the second relationship with Prophet Islam is establishing through the third stage. The creation, compassion of the creation, how does jealousy relate to that? Very easy. Because you are jealous of people, it is your violating their right to be jealous and do those actions based on jealousy. When you will stop doing that, you are having compassion upon creation. You are being actually in the state of the heart closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So your heart will actually be having compassion upon creation. Because you are not being jealous. When you are not being jealous, you think Allah has given them. I have not given them. I have more treasures which I give people. If Allah giving less, Allah give them more. So a believer, he wants goodness for people. He becomes happy when he sees blessing in any brother, any sister, any person have a blessing. He becomes, his heart becomes more happy and praise Allah, give him more. And the person, the heart which is ill, when he sees very good jewelry on someone, like a woman sees ornament and a good car, beautiful woman, this is how that he wants that these people should not practice. They should go away from these people. Because this is now the ill heart. It has nothing to do with his own treasure, meaning he is not giving anyone. He just can't tolerate Allah giving people. And this is very clear, he is an ill heart. So when you won't have a heart like this, then you will want goodness for the creation. So that is going to build compassion upon creation. And how it's going to build the presence of Allah? Because you know that creation, they don't know you are being jealous or not. So each time you stop from jealousy, or you do the mujahidah to bring love of people for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and stop from jealousy, presence of Allah is established. And the fourth stage, enlightenment of the soul, is directly related to Allah and His Messenger. So they are, we can't even, we don't need to explain. That is a direct, that is fanaf in Rasul and fanaf in Allah. Enlightenment of the heart, enlightenment of the inner self with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembrance and presence, and with Rasulullah relationship. So that is directly related to, so that's why when a person comes here, these four qualities, they are already in the person. So when a person comes here in the mountain, before the death is, they are already in the person. So on this mountain what happens is only the strengthens, its reinforcement now, again and again, so that the person doesn't do a U-turn. Because some people say they don't need tazkiyah, they are generous people. But maybe they are generous only when they see a beggar on the street, a woman crying or hearing the news, then generosity feeling kindles in their heart. Otherwise, there is no generosity. Other people, they can think that we are not jealous, but there will be times only they won't be jealous, there will be other times they will be jealous. So, temporarily many people pose to be good, free from these states, but they are no good states because they are temporal and the bad ones cancel the good ones afterward. So here what on this mountain, what a person does is establishes deeply these traits so that they become a habit of the person. So that they become second nature of the person. So that the person even now don't have to think to do goodness. It's just a natural flow for him. It's just like he was in the flow of evil first. He didn't have to train himself to do evil. It became his nature to do evil because of the influence of shaitan and impurification and not having tazkiyah and having a bad nafs. Now his state has become good. He has become nafsir mutmainna. And now his state is actually serene and established. So that is how the 1, 2, 3, 4 stages: purification of the body, purification of the mind, purification of the heart, and enlightenment of the soul. That's how they relate to actually these four objectives. So the more a person is steadfast on his sheath, he is going to get more closeness to Allah, like we heard yesterday from the teachings of Mashaykh, the Prophet ﷺ, in the light of Prophet ﷺ teaching as a Mashaykh, that the closeness of Allah is not determined through miracles. The closeness of Allah is not determining how many children you have. The closeness of Allah is not determining how many bank balances you have, bank accounts you have, bank balances you have, how many cars you have, how many madrasas you have, how many institutions you have. The closeness of Allah is not determined. Closeness of Allah is determined by these four objectives. You are giving preference to Allah's command in 24 hours, and you are giving your life according to, you're fulfilling those commands according to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in 24 hours. You become the colour of Prophet, and thirdly, you are giving the creation its due and more than the creation that he deserves, compassion in this world and hereafter. And fourthly, the presence of Allah. So the more these things are stronger in you, the more closer to Allah you are. You don't need to ask anyone now that I am close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. You know yourself how strong these qualities are. Previously, if they are not in you, then they are deep in you. So then, so it doesn't matter if that person seeing Jannah, I don't really care, the Mashaykh said, that if a person even is, as we see, or you might say, partnering in Jannah, if he doesn't have these qualities, it doesn't mean he's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, Shaitan was living in Jannah, he was deprived of one of these four qualities, and he came back from Jannah. How we lost these four? He had in the beginning. Imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Usjudu li Adam, this was the command of Allah. You see, he didn't obey that command, ta'adimu li amrillah, gone, his status lost. How he did, what other thing he did wrong? He didn't obey the messenger of the time, because Sayyidina Adam, he didn't respect and honor him, listen to him. So he didn't ta'adimu li sunnah bi rasoola, he didn't do that, that's what Sayyidina Adam. It was Hazrat Adam's right to be frustrated, to be respected and honored. Because Allah had honored him, it was his right. That's why angels prostrated in front of him. Because Allah gave him honor. So he violated, Shaitan violated the rights of Adam al-Islam. So the rights of creation were violated. And fourthly, he was not present with Allah, he was present with his nafs. He was always thinking of himself only. Ana khayrun min, I am better, I created from fire. He was not in the presence of Allah, that he, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence was fully within him, he would have not had this help. So you, now you can see very clearly, crystal clear, how these four qualities, when they became missing, person of Jannah came back and became cursed person. Now if you are living on this face of the earth, you bring these qualities in you, you become a heavenly person while living on the face of the earth. So you can see the very direct and crystal clear nature. That is why the Shaykh and Awliya Salihis, and I think that in the teachings of Rasulullah, they have derived these four things. They are universal. They are the actual solid foundation which are going to determine your closeness to Allah. So if a person brother says, I have been doing 10 hours zikr and I was feeling very good and joy, that doesn't mean he is closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he is not, doesn't have these, any of these four objectives. Your brother says, I saw a dream and actually I saw Kaaba Sharif and Madina Sharif and I saw Jannah and there was a person, he said, you are a person of Jannah. It doesn't make him any close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that he brings these qualities in himself. In the thing you pay, I start to come over there about this, because of what I think. So here the relationship of these four stages, you should understand with the four objectives actually there. And then they relate to the mercy and grace of Allah. Bring the other picture, the second one. You see, when people have this misconception, they think that mercy is Allah for all people. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna rahmatullahi kareebun min al-muhsinin. Allah's rahmah is closer to the good doers, the righteous. People of ihsan, people who goodness, they are closer to Allah's mercy. People who do evil, they are closer to the ghadab of Allah. They are closer to the azab of Allah. They shouldn't be deluded thinking we are very close to Allah's mercy as well. Because sin is something which brings, sin is like a rope which brings the punishment of Allah. And good deeds are like the rope which brings the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person has come here, he really now is calling on the mercy of Allah to come. Grace of. He is the person who can say, I have hope in the mercy of Allah. He is the person who can say, person who has done all these good deeds and purification, he is the one really who can say, I have need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because now there is nothing left to be done except the umeed. Umeed and hope is there when you have done your part. When you are married, you can hope for a child. When you sow the seed, you can hope for the plant to grow. When you started the business, you can actually hope for the profit. When you done your part, you now actually leave it for the smarter. So these people have done up to here, they rightly can say the hope in the mercy of Allah. And people who are down there, only not even discover the first stage or not even the condition, they are deluded, they are in deception. They are being conned by Shaitan to think about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the mercy of Allah is going to come in on these people, not these people. Yes, these people can receive the sinful as well if they do repent. Yes, Mother, do you repent? You will receive my mercy. And repentance means going to the first condition, the first mountain. Yes, they can receive some mercy of Allah, Allah will change and forgive their sins. But to come here, these people are rightly, they hope in the mercy of Allah, then Allah's mother mercy and grace and fadl come, and then it takes you to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there you are. So these are the four stages. Now we need to say something about the traveler, the person who is traveling. This diagram only tells you about the journey. It doesn't tell you something about the person who is making the journey, who will be making the journey, the traveler, which we call salik. So, like a traveler, a person who is on an expedition, journey, every traveler, especially, let's imagine that these, the mountains, the gardens and rivers and all these things, are the scenery of the world, they are a real expedition to somewhere. So a person who wants to travel and go towards his destination, every traveler needs energy. Without energy you cannot travel. You want to go from here even upstairs, you need energy. We don't appreciate this. To speak, there are people who can't speak. It's not because they have lost the ability to speak, they don't have energy to move their tongue. Like in the past, sometimes people feel this, that they are losing the energy to speak. They feel even tired. Like your legs feel tired, your tongue starts to feel tired. And it can get to that extent that a person is lying in bed in hospital, he has the full ability to speak, but just because of not having the energy, they can't move their tongue to say words. Right. So if you don't have energy, how can you travel? So any person who is willing to travel this journey, that salik, murid, or seeker of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love and pleasure, he must have energy to travel. And here you need spiritual energy, not physical energy. But it is a spiritual journey. Physical energy you need to move body physically. But this is a spiritual energy, now you need a different kind of energy. And this energy will come from the zikr and fikr. Fikr is the muraqabah. If a person doesn't understand muraqabah, the Quran uses the word fikr. Allah said, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, that there are signs in the alterations of the day and night for the wise people. For who are the wise people? Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ, who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sitting and even laying down and standing. You see, there we show that you can do dhikr in any form. You can do dhikr when you are standing, you still remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sitting as well and lying down as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those wise are those people who yadhkurun Allah, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all their life, meaning all postures of their life, meaning all their life really. Because a person can only have three postures. Either he will be standing, or he will be sitting, or he will be lying down somewhere. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that my servants, they, in all their postures, they remember me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then they, what they do? وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, then they ponder over the creation of heavens and earth. وہ فکر کرتے ہیں, تفکر کرتے ہیں, کہ زمین اسمان کس نے پیدا کیا. And then they come to the conclusion, they say, سُبْحَانَ, glory be to Allah. It is Allah who has created the heavens and the earth. Oh Allah, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, save us from the fire of the hell. You have created all this. So this is the muraqabah. Will we say muraqabah? The Quran also use the word fikr. يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, the word fikr. And munajat. You see, this person is doing fikr first. يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ, he is doing pondering, not with his tongue, with his mind and heart, and then he comes to the conclusion, the verse mentions that pondering, that thinking, that muraqabah leads to munajah. The person says, Subhana fakina azab al-nar, O Allah, save me from the fire of the hell. Rabbana inna tamatun fil al-nar, O Allah, whoever you will enter fire, that person have lost faith, he has at least been destroyed. But Umar is Zalim and Ansar, and there will be no helper of that person. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا, oh Lord, I heard your words, I heard of your messenger, مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي, and a person giving the message of yours, a little iman, to believe, أَنَا آمِنُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, and I believe. Oh Allah, رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا, forgive me, I'm very sinful, كَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيَّاتِنَا, and at least expiate and eliminate my sins and my bad deeds. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَلَى الْأَبْرَارِ, and grant me leaving from this world and leaving the state in with the pious people. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَلَى الْأَبْرَارِ, and this, at the end the person is doing this dua, وَتَوَفَّنَا, Allah, let me die amongst the pious. وَتَوَفَّنَا رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَى رُسُلِكَ, oh our Lord, whatever your messengers brought, we are steadfast in that promise. We don't associate any partner with you. وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, don't confiscate, don't punish us, don't hold us accountable on the day of judgment, and don't disgrace us on the day of إِنَّا قَلَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيَانَةِ, we continue always that we abide by your promises. This is munajat. The Quran is giving you the teaching of munajat, to how you do munajat, how you actually talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through fikr. So the verse firstly mentions zikr, and then it mentions the fikr, and then it comes to the munajat. And muraqabah comprises of these two things, of fikr and munajat. When fikr and munajat, they come together, they become muraqabah. And in that also zikr is included in that, but it's the remembrance of the heart. So when the zikr of the heart and the muraqabah of the heart And the munajats are included, dhikr muradba, dhikr of the heart, fikr of the heart, and munajat. Dhikr, fikr, and talking with Allah, munajat, your direct communication. These three things become, they are called muradba. So this is the highest form of dhikr. Highest form of dhikr. That a person is engaged with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembrance from all directions. And with the barakah which you do, mashallah, even you engage your mind, your eyes as well there, not even the heart, imagine. You engage your heart, you engage your mind, and you also engage actually your thoughts, your perception when you look at the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and imagine about it. So a person who doesn't understand the concept of barakah, you should mention him fikr. Zikr wal fikr. The Quran mentions these two things clearly. The muraqabah is part of the fikr. And in that verse of the Quran, verses of the Quran which I recited, Allah just mentioned in the same order. Firstly, the heavens and the earth, that they are signs. Then he mentioned that these people do zikr of mine. Then they also ponder and do fikr. And then they do munajat this day. So that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the accident. Allah has accepted these things, what they have said from them. Allah will accept them because they are praying from the heart now. So, I am saying that the traveler, let's say you are in the beginning of the journey, is no good wishing, I wish I am on the end of the mountain or the end to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't have any enemy. So now, in the Tariq Halqa, and you have to teach the person the importance of dhikr and meditation. The importance of dhikr and muraqabah. The importance of dhikr and fikr and munajat. You have to explain to them a little bit about the importance. And mainly you say four things to them regarding that. One, it is the water which gives cures to one's thirst. Dhikr and muraqabah is the water which gives cure to one's thirst. One is thirsty of salvation, of shifa. Is dhikr, one function of dhikr is that it gives shifa to the person. The muraqabah gives shifa to the thirst of the person. Number two, without water everything shall become lifeless. Like without water even worldly things become lifeless. Similarly, without the dhikr is water and meditation is also the ingredients of water. So without this, your land of piety and righteousness will become dry. Your land will be dry, so that's why you won't see the sunnah on the body of the person who has forgotten Allah is blessing him. Because his land is dry. Jab koi zameen khushk hoti hai to uspe sukhi sukhi cheeze there is nothing growing, all the land is clear. So that's why you see the people who are away from Allah and they don't use the water of dhikr, their bodies are dry from the sunnah. Unki gandam bhi kati hui hogi and they won't have any decoration, there will be no fruits on them. But a person who is actually has water, his land will actually grow. So beer, you can say, is like a form of actually plants. It grows due to the water of zikr, the beer grows. So that's why we say to people, I say that we shouldn't say to people, you keep beer without this. Because it's just like saying to people, person, you're not giving them water to their land, but you are saying to them, bring some plants here. So even if they bring cutting plants from trees or from other land, and if they bring those there, they're still going to dry up in actually 3-4 weeks again. So that's why some people who are forced to, let's say, pressurize to keep beer, after 3-4 weeks, they again actually will flow, be the same person they were before, because there's no water. But if you do put the right seeds in there, and you give the person water, automatically plant will grow. And that means the original plant, because it will be from roots. So similarly are the other good traits as well. They are going to come like this. They are not going to come. They can't be infested and imposed upon people. It will have to come from their heart. So you have to make fertile the land of their heart and then give water to them, a way to teach them how to give water. Instead you are teaching them zikr and muraqabah. And as soon as you start watering, the land of their heart will become fertile and plants will start to grow. Simple as that. So you just explain to them and yourself first that like water, if I leave my zikr, you will find not immediately, nothing will happen. Believe me, immediately doesn't happen. People fall into this trap. Let's say this land is full with mango trees. And the mango trees are very healthy, they are there. But you don't water them. You are supposed to water them every day and you don't water them. It's very hot weather. And a person comes, he says, I am expert of trees. I am expert of trees and in this weather, you must water them every second day. And I know very good about trees. I am expert and I am master of actually the science, how trees develop and etc., what they need. And this person says this to you, and you say, okay, well, he has said this, but let's see what happens. You don't water the second day. And then you look at your trees. They are still the same. You see, I think that person says he knows more, but I think I know better. Look, I have not watered and the trees are still the better, the green, the mangoes are coming up. That's a very good thing. And then another second day passes, 4 days passes, still they are same. You see, I definitely think that person was wrong. And the more weeks and pass now, weeks and months start passing and you don't give water, now what, one day you come, few mangoes will be falling down from the tree and they will lose their freshness and they will start losing their freshness and now the time to sell comes and you are bringing us buyers in. The buyers, we are not going to buy these rubbish mangoes. They are already at the drying up. And you say, well, what's the suffering? My old effort is going to last. Why, what's happening? Then you again, let's ask that person. Maybe he knows more now. First I go to them, now he will go and go back to it and my mangoes are dry and the seeds are going, the leaves are going yellow. And he will say that I already said to you, did you water second day? No, I thought that we, it's okay, I've just been lazy. That's how people who need zikr they do. So firstly when they are given zikr and meditation, mashallah they do it for some time, their tree grows, they are feeling good. The sunnah starts coming and then they become slack for 1-2 days. They say, what happens? And the Shaykh says that don't leave zikr, this is your water. And you look at yourself, you say, my day has passed same as before, I didn't do zikr today. It's same, second day is same, but after about 3-4 weeks, you find that your fear has started gone. You have lost the sweetness, the urge. The relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to dry. The sunnah is becoming dry. And then the person runs back and says, oh, I want to start again from square one. So that is good, you have chance, mashallah, until death. But why not actually take the lesson the first time? That keep watering. And inshallah, you will bear fruit and you will be able to benefit others. Who does the fruit benefit? The fruit benefits others as well. So this person who watered himself, his plant and his garden of mangoes, he will be able to give other hungry people, other people desiring fruit as well. So this person who will do his own amal, he will be in a better position to give dawah to people. Because the other person says, I want to give you mangoes and he's sitting with his dry mangoes there. People are not going to buy. So similarly, this person who himself has lost his relationship with Allah, when he comes to the people and say, come, I'll teach you about to get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they look at that person. So in spirituality, the spirits will know the spirituality of each other and they won't benefit. That's it. So you explain to them and yourself that life without water, everything shall become lifeless. Now with water, everything becomes life comes in them. So when the land has become dry, the trees have become dry, what is the solution now? Now if people do another mistake here, a person comes, brother, I've left the zikr, I've left the prayer, everything gone, I want to start again. The teacher says, okay, you start again. Now another trap which Shaitan puts them is that soon as your trees are dry completely, but the expert regarding the garden, he tells you to water the plants now. Water the trees. First day you water, there will be no difference outwardly in the trees. So this person comes and he does this a few days, starts again, and thinks my state is still the same, the teacher said do it, and I am still the same. No change has happened in me. No goodness is coming in me. And you know that the tree has dried up. Now just giving water a few days is not going to turn it into a fresh tree, and mangoes are not just going to fall from it in 3 days. Meaning now it will take time. Now he will water it for 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks, the first mangoes maybe before, the leaves will fall, the new start coming out. So don't fall into the first trap, don't fall into the second one when you begin. You have to be careful. You have to do continuously for some time in order to bring yourself back to the same state where you were before. Third thing, you explain to yourself and them, the amals are part of the purification process. One should do it to please Allah, not for reward or feeling. The amal are given, tazkiyah is given, the amal are given for tazkiyah, the purification process. They are part of purification process. They are not given to you for good feelings. They are supposed to be done for Allah's pleasure, not for good feeling. But today, like you were hearing the question and answer session, that we are sent here to please Allah, not to please ourselves. We are sent here in this world to please Allah. Now we start to take the second journey, which is pleasing ourselves. Then there is a conflict between Allah and us. It's a head-on clash then. You are not settling directly in clash with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come on. Because two things can't actually, opposite things cannot actually exist like that. They are opposite direction. Nafs wants to go opposite, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command is something else. So we have come here to please Allah, not to please ourselves. A person who understands this, many of his worries and confusions will move. Because many a time, you have to displease yourself to please Allah. So what to say about the person who wants to please himself and please Allah, he won't be able to. So these people who complain, I am not enjoying my zikr, I have no enjoyment in the prayer, I am not have a good feeling. It means they want to be pleased and they want to please Allah as well. This won't happen. Like this in the beginning especially, until you are purified. Because when you will be purified, your soul will find peace in goodness, and then Allah's pleasure and your pleasure will come one, because you have sacrificed your pleasure for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now your soul also finds pleasure in the obedience of Allah. Now it should be your state, and that happens at the fourth stage, after the fourth stage. Before that, there will be a clash, and you explain to yourself, کہ میں اس دنیا میں اپنے نفس کو راضی کرنے نہیں آیا, اللہ کو راضی کرنے آیا. تو اب جب آپ یہ سمجھ جائیں گے, تو پھر اگر آپ کو عبادت میں لطف نہیں آ رہا, مجاہدہ تکلیف کاٹنا پڑتی ہے, تو آپ سمجھیں گے کہ میں تو آئے اللہ کو راضی کرنا اپنے آپ کو. سو اعمال آف دا شریعہ آر ایکچولی پارٹ آف پیوریفیکیشن پروسیس, اسپیشلی دا اعمال آف دی تزکیہ. And one should do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and purify it. That is the need, Jesus. Not for reward, no stealing. Because Shaitan will say, he might say, you might not get a reward of this. Look, you are not feeling good. You say, okay, yes, that's a very good trick you follow me. I will heal people. That's what people do. How foolishly they come to just go behind Shaitan and leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he takes away and takes up your health, and then there's nothing left for you. Meaning, when he cuts off your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are healthy spiritually, you are dead. Now you need a miracle to actually need life again. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have that miracle, that solution, that cure, that can actually make dead alive, spiritually dead people alive. The amals are part of the purification process, so they are part of the ziyya. One should do it for please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for enjoying, not for seeing sightseeing, visions, dreams, and anything like this. There's nothing to do with that. Even I say to people, even looking at the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Maratubah is not necessary. You see it in your head. It has nothing to do with Maratubah. That was for other reasons, even if you look with your eyes, it has the same benefit. And the meditation consisted of being the parents of Allah and communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the Maratubah, that was the Munajah. And that is to reinforce you. So you fall into, because a person sometimes have shallow thinking and they just go after shallow things, which are really like feelings. Feelings are unreliable. Facts are reliable. So you should never go after feelings. They are unreliable, everyone knows they are unreliable things. A person who is given a security guard, like to guard the atomic bomb or the missile system of the country, he might say, I feel like I need to sit in my mouth. So, if you can't go after his feeling, if he does go after his feeling, he can actually destroy many people around his view because of his feeling. I don't feel satisfied just sitting there, now I should play around with him. So, no, he go after facts. The fact is that I think, no, these things are dangerous, I should not observe. So, similarly, the person who fact is that there is Allah and there is you and you are benefiting, you are trying to please Him. That is the fact. And this dhikr really is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is fact. But these feelings are unreliable. They can come from shaitan. They can come from the nafs. So how can these things be reliable, which can shaitan can actually bring? Sometimes a person does dhikr or prayer, shaitan puts enjoyment in their intention. It's not coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan is to be very good because he can put force in you. You feel very good for about 1-2 months. You will pray, you will dhikr, very enjoyment. Soon as you pull the switch and you say, oh, where is it gone? Where is the enjoyment gone? Now if you were biased to say, yet enjoyment has gone, Allah has not gone somewhere. I'm doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because gradually you fell into the trap of bringing forth enjoyment, now you will also slacken. So the amals are part of purification process. One should do them to please Allah, not for reward or feeling. Tazkiyah ke liye amal kiye jaate hain. Wo aap achhe ehsasat aur dil lagne ke liye, yani is tarah ke dil ke maze ke liye, lutf ke liye nahi kiye jaate. When something is for tazkiyah, like you are given medicine for tazkiyah. When illnesses come in the body, how is tazkiyah done? The doctor is the chair, and the zikr and maratabah is the medicine. That is of your body. You are the spiritual ailment, you have physical ailment, then those you are spiritual. The doctor becomes the shaykh and murshid, and amal becomes the medicine. So imagine a person taking medicine at home and saying, going back to the doctor, I didn't take medicine. Why? Because it didn't taste very well. Then hardly any medicine is going to taste well. Medicine is not given to you have a good, to give a treat to your taste bud. It is for purification. It is for the purification of the body, the meaning is for the ailment. So That's why we say that, man, did I say that this is the wonderful juice of the world? I said this is a medicine. Just at least take the three times. No, it, you, this has nothing to do with enjoyment or actually pleasure. That's what happened. So just imagine how the foolishness and the shallow thinking of this person who does like this, doesn't take medicine because they are not, they don't taste very good. He understood the wrong purpose of them. The purpose was to cure and to reach shifa. So the purpose of the zikr and amal and good deeds is to reach Allah and to be purified. But yes, children medicine, baby medicine, they actually have sweeteners in them. They have flavors in them. Chocolate flavor, kalpur, and actually strawberry flavor, kalpur, because they are babies. So similarly, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for spiritual they be behaving like people, they are given enjoyment for some time so that they at least they can take medicine and they can take some benefit. But you don't remain baby all your life after that you come. So that's why I say these signs, good feelings and these things, they are treats for babies, for spiritually babies. Now some person might be adult and he is getting a high dose of proper dose of the medicine. And he looks at the baby kalpo, he says, that's not good. And it also seems very good. It also looks very good, tastes very good. I'll go to doctor and complain, why you don't give me this? Now he is wrong, but he doesn't need that. He should be mature enough to understand it's not the taste, it's not the purpose. So here, so some people are adult, they don't see vision. Spiritually, they are, mashallah, strong people in Iman. I gave you the example of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And many of the Sahaba and Alunya, they don't see anything after, they don't need those treats because they are more strong and they are adults. These are toys given to children sometimes. Or sometimes they are given to adults but for other purposes. Let's say adult is selling kalpur for babies, he will have many things. But that's for selling, not for himself. So sometimes only Allah have these things, but not for actually themselves, they have it for others. But they are not interested in them as they are interested only in yu'minuna bil ghaib, and on that basis they actually base their judgment on. The other thing you must mention to them is the that a communion, a private meeting between the seeker and Allah. What a wonderful meeting. You like to have a meeting with president. You maybe like have meeting with that being the king or with someone. But what to say if you love someone? To have a private meeting, how much people wait for it? And how much they think, look forward to meet. And this dhikr and meditation is a community, a private meeting between the seeker and Allah. What a wonderful union, what a wonderful communion. What a wonderful meeting. So that a person and the Lord, his Lord are meeting Allah. So this is your time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Special time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be only you and Allah. Because you have to, you alone, should be alone. And the other thing you also should mention to them is that they should do the zikr with the intention of purification and pleasure for Allah. They should also make intention. People don't make intention, they don't get benefit. They should make intention of pleasure of Allah and to be purified. So here to dhikr and meditation, mashallah, the benefits or why it is the importance which you have heard. This you have to explain in the tariq halqa which you are giving someone briefly. Sometimes you can't explain all points. I am bringing this bit in detail so that at least you know something, remember something to say. Other is then, before you give anyone zikr to do or meditation to do, then you ask them actually to begin, how to do it, you begin with the name of Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then you also used to be sitting comfortably, relaxed, inwardly, outwardly, for the vacanting all thoughts. So So sit comfortably, relax. Inwardly and outward. You know, outwardly you are resting, you are sitting, mashallah, in a comfortable environment. Inwardly relaxing also, don't wander here and there. Be he there where you are, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, remember the three keys of awareness. That Allah is watching me, hearing me, and present with me. Then you tune yourself, you connect yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you say three times, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. You are asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because who you want relationship and you've done something wrong, firstly you have to ask forgiveness, then your relationship carries on. Let's say husband and wife have fallen out. The wife is very displeased, the husband is very displeased. You can't just at least give them flowers and say, come and meet each other. Because the actual, what they've wrong, they've done to each other, if that is not covered, that is not removed, these flowers are just going to be thrown at their faces rather than the expression of love. Because they say, but I do care for these flowers, you tortured me with this and that, and you give me hard time, and what are these flowers? They're nothing. But before you mend your relationship, so now you start your meeting with Allah, verily, surely we've done bad things in the day, night. We always are doing human beings, we commit mistakes, knowingly, unknowingly. So we start with Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And then, three times Durood Sharif, because you connect with Rasulullah, thanking him, and you also are bringing the shower of the mercy of Allah upon you. So you have the Rahmah of Allah already on you. You ask forgiveness from Allah. You thank Rasulullah. You build a relationship with him spiritually. So you are connected to Allah. You are connected to the Messenger of Allah. Allah's mercy is showering on you. Then, three times, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This shows that you are saying that all the enablement, what I am going to do, the goodness, the power of Allah will come from you. I only rely on you. And to save myself from the ghafla and from heedlessness will also come from you. That power is from you, which I am utilizing. I am not relying on myself. I am utilizing power given by you. Yet the user is the person, but the bestower of that power is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For you use the willpower here and there. After that, a person should again refresh three keys and begin the process of imagination and initiation. Here the person is standing, sitting in front of you. You now ask them again to refresh that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. He is watching me, hearing me, and with me. And then begin the process. How the initiation process begins, for them to do give zikr, is that firstly, you imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is above you, shining, a very big name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shining above you. Then, whilst you imagine that, you also imagine that the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, from the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, is striking the heart of the other person. I mean, upon you and the heart of the other person. That's the process initiated, that's spiritually what's happening. If it can be seen through the veil, unveiling or touch, that's what's happening when it came. That is the barakah which actually goes in, or the power which is placed in the person's heart, when the zikr is given. So the initiation process begins with actually imagination that Allah's mother's name above you, the light of Allah's name is going under the person's heart. Whilst you recite once the Durood Sharif, and then three times Allahu, and three times Ya Aziz, and three times Ya Ahad, and Durood Sharif. So it's kind of done in 2 seconds. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallim taslima. Allahu, Allahu, Allah, Ya Aziz, Ya Aziz, Ya Aziz, Ya Ahad, Ya Ahad, Ya Ahad, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallam. You done the drushi. While doing these amal, this imagination process should continue. It will continue. And then you should say to the person, give the amal to the person. The zikr, the methodology of the zikr, La ilaha illallah, for example. And how you teach them the zikr, La ilaha illallah, is already written in the book, that they think that the La is negating all the desires of the nafs, all the darkness which have entered the nafs and the heart, all the unlawful wishes. With La, you bring them upwards to the mind, ilaha, and then discharge them out. Because zikr is the kulli shayin sefara, for everything is something to clean, and the cleaner of the heart. Heart is the zikr of Allah. Sefara is the tulu, zikr of Allah. When from the head, when you think La, ilaha, and discharge other, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala force, bad force out, then you say, illallah, toward that in the heart. So, this is the zikr, La ilaha illallah should be recited for 20 minutes every day. Visually show them and assess them with full tuning. Then go through each process. So for example, you go with them. You say to them, say for example, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, say Astaghfirullah, say this, and now think like this, and etc., etc. Until you complete the full process, and you can see them doing in your presence, that they can do very well. Tuning, certainly that is very important. Tuning, and then also the practical thing. The meditation and muraqabah of the blessed name of Allah should be initiated the same way. Same way, you say Bismillah, Astaghfirullah, and same way like shown you before. That is, starts with some, but the initiation also the same way. You say Allahu, three times Ya Aziz, three times Ya Ahad, with one time Lucy in the beginning and the end. Then you imagine the same name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask the person to look at the name of Allah and then close the eyes, and you stay in that imagination of the name of Allah, if that's me, the nur and the light of his stripes in the person. So this will be the 20 minutes dhikr and 10 every day, 10 minutes muraqabah. Advice for the seeker to learn and practice. You should ask them that they should now begin learning basic knowledge of Aqeedah, which is mentioned inside the Tariqah Muhammadiyah booklet as well, the basic level. And number two, to learn the fiqh jurisprudence, the fard things, obligatory things, necessary wajibat things, and the breakers which nullify acts of worship, like wudu, ghusl things, ritual bath, salat, prayers, when sajda sahab necessary, when the prayer breaks, when the wudu breaks, when the ghusl becomes wajib, how to give zakat, the masail of fasting. This is all knowledge of fiqh. So you will ask the seeker to begin actually having the necessary knowledge. Now may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us actually. So tomorrow we will hopefully complete this, and now if you have any questions you can ask. कोई सवाल है तो वो कर लें.
manage the use of the internet at home. Often with the internet, people use the internet and it might be strong some of the time or most of the time, whatever, but because iman goes up and down, or maybe people get beaten, with constant use, sometimes something comes up, you see something, and it affects you, and diverts your mind.
The brother is saying that the people use internet, that sometimes the person's iman is up and down all the time, and what happens is that inshallah, if they ask for tilawat, then brother Nazeem will do the tilawat for them, the radio channel. So the iman goes up and down. And how to, what is the advice to save yourself of the abusing or misusing the internet? Well, there are two types of advice. One is which will have no effect, and the other is going to have effect. The advice which is having no effect is, I say, brother, whenever you see anything like this, just switch it off and just turn your eyes away and try to control next time. This advice normally does not work. So the proper advice is to go through a tazkiyah program, that the illness is in you, not in the internet. And you won't be able to control yourself unless you have the power and you are trained to control. If you are not trained to control, you will not be able to control. You have to be trained. And that is to do a short course in tazkiyah, meaning the ailment, the illness is in the person. And the ailment is not in the internet or the use of the internet. So it's like a person who was driving very well, but now he is abusing, driving here and there bad way. The police might say to retake training again to test. Or you go through speed cameras, they might say you take a training speed awareness course you do. Because that really removes the problem. Speed awareness course, advanced training, or learning theory again. That is the proper actually way to get rid of this matter. The temporal is not going to work. So I would say actually that person should do a short program of tazkiyah, so that person can be cured. Because a driver can be asked to. The police is not sufficient, they think for granted, they say, don't do it again. Next time, drive carefully, they don't say it. If a person is abusing in such a way, they do a very drastic mistake, they say, you take the test again. You are banned for 6 months. You see, in worldly sense, advice sometimes does not work. Advice works for people who are trained, now and conscious. So to be aware of the harms of these things and to really be trained as well, only then you can actually abstain. But one advice for people who have this difficulty is better for them that they have the presence of someone else there. Because they don't have strong presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not trained. If they were, they wouldn't have done it. So let their brother, their friend, their children be in that room and they use in front of them and don't use alone. That is one solution which can actually sometimes work for some time. But the permanent is what I said, that change the abusing quality in the person rather than actually changing and cutting the internet away. But for yes, until the person is trained, he can cut himself from it so that he is trained, and then he, like a person who is banned for driving unless he passes the test again, or he does this awareness course, or speed awareness course, then he can actually do the driving and he will be free. When they are asked to do this, they will do this. they're not asked, they won't do it. Some person, yeah, this is personal likeness of people. People do this is according to the availability of time and things, and so they should, if they are the true seeker, they should know that if they are doing someone is doing on the instruction of actually the teacher, that they is as though that they are doing actually on the instruction from the Shaykh itself. So if they say this, they should be given that this is the procedure, and if they do insist very much and there is a flexibility in time, then it can be mentioned to the teacher. But in many circumstances, when people are living in a different country, when people are living in different cities and you are there, this is not possible actually to be that initiated from the teacher. Because the real being who will benefit is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is going to benefit. Really not the shaykh is only will be the means, and the other person will be the means as well. So proper they, provided they have the proper methodology, provided they have the proper process of initiation, they can do. Any other question? MashaAllah, otherwise we finish. Yes, sir.
Like you mentioned, the person who begins to slack on his dhikr, he should begin after a period of time, will come back to normal. Is it like that for one who also begins to slack on his sheets?
You've asked that the person who slackens on his amal and dhikr, etc., and it is similar that the man he slacks on his sheets. Firstly, you should know that the relationship of the amal or to abstain from the sin have direct relationship. Yes,
sir. Like you mentioned, the person who begins to slack on his dhikr, he should begin after a period of time, will come back to normal. Is it like that for one who also begins to slack on his sheets?
You've asked that the person who slackens on his amal and dhikr, etc., and it is similar that the man he slacks on his sheets. Firstly, you should know that the relationship of the amal or to abstain from the sin have direct relationship with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because from the zikr of Allah, you get the presence, meditation, and purification and energy to abstain from the sin. So the effect on the sheet will be directly related to the abandoning or leaving the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person has done this regarding the sheet, he will have to actually start the sheet again as well. Is that what you are asking? Brother is saying that if you get, let's say you are doing dhikr for 20 minutes and a person gets disturbed, if you get disturbed in the first 10 minutes, then you start again from the beginning. And if you are distracted or attend somewhere which is after the first 10 minutes, the second half, then you just do the last half. But for this is for women, it is a different masala, because they have children sometimes and they are all the time disturbing them, distracting them. They can do dhikr, but they just prolong it by 10 minutes so that it actually covers them, actually the presence of Allah. Like Imam Ghazali, rahmahullah, he mentioned that the person is supposed to attain a level of presence of Allah, the huzuri, the huzur ma'allah, that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through prayers. five prayers, especially the first prayer, he should be. And you said, if a person is not attentive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the prayer, but he has done the prayer according to the fifth rules, that is acceptable. But after the prayer, even just sitting down, about approximately the equal length of time, he should try to bring himself in the presence of Allah. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, he is hearing me, he is with me, and try to stay in this state for, let's say, if it takes 6 minutes to pray first prayer. So to compensate the actual blessing you should have attained to the prayer you haven't, you can do it after whilst you're sitting down. So at least in 24 hours, you have that level of presence which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to have. Because you see, when the first prayer is obligatory, necessary to pray. So, two Fajr of Fajr, it might take some people, if they are doing individually, 2 minutes, some people 3 minutes. Four of Dhuhr, you can say it takes about at least 4 minutes. We do it very fast. So, 6 minutes, four of Asr, so that's 10 minutes, and three of Maghrib, that's 13 minutes, and 4 Fajr of Isha, 17 minutes, and 3 Witr which are valid, 20 minutes. So imagine the Mashayikh which they have provided, this 20 minutes Witr which you do is also derived from the presence which is supposed to a person, necessary presence a person is supposed to get from the Fajr prayer. So this is like compensating you for the presence which you have not been able to keep in the first prayer. So Imam Ghazali, the other awliya, Salihin, they recommend different matters. But that's how he has said that a person should, after if he's sitting in the sofa or in his work room or on his table, he can actually bring that presence of Allah for 5-7 minutes which he did not get in the prayer. And say this way, inshallah, day by day, his presence and haduri of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase. After the initiation?
Is that for the person who initiated to check off on the Sikh's progression?
A person who has actually begun to on the tariq, on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change his life, a person who has initiated, yes, it is his responsibility to mention that at least in the beginning months and or 1 year at least, that once in 40 days that person that he must get a review. After 1 year passes and the person goes beyond, then sometimes it is not necessary. But especially in the beginning stages, as long as the person is on the first stages, first stage of the purification, they should actually once in 40 days they get review of their file, because there are additional things which sometimes have to be given. Any other person wants to ask anything? MashaAllah, this is our second last session, so inshallah, I would say you can ask unrelated questions as well. But not like how many fardh are in the wudu, you can go and read a book on or go upstairs. You know, these are questions which actually take time for other people who want to ask the questions which are more difficult to find. So rather, a question like those are asked there more than three.
The sunnah of surah that we use,
yeah.
I personally use eyeliner, so I think it's the 21st century of surah, because surah is very reliable. I've heard that we have lead and we can't always be assured of the quality or the chain or where it's come from. Is using eyeliner, because it's the safer alternative, because we don't know what's in surah at the moment, so we can't always be alive, does it hold the same sunnah if I use eyeliner?
Others have seen that we, some people use surma, which is coal, for eyes, and it is sunnah. But remember the sunnah of Rasulullah regarding using coal or surma is that he used to put using his blessed eyes at night time before sleeping. So not during the daytime. It was yours in Supra, so by the morning, the Hajjah time, it might have been not stay in the, for example, in the eyes. Rasulullah's blessed eyes were naturally very beautiful. It seemed, even if he had not put anything in it, it seemed that he had put coal in it. He had put sunnah. They were naturally like his blessed eyes. Very beautiful. Well, very beautiful eyes. And so here is Islam used to put for other reasons, with purification, other things as well. And a person who puts surma, and for that reason, so the reason is the surma reaches inside the eye. Inside the eye, then the sunnah will be fulfilled. But if a person is using eyeliners, it's the same thing. A person using a miswak and using a teeth brush. So from the brush, a toothbrush, if a person uses that, the sunnah of cleaning the teeth is fulfilled. Cleaning the teeth is fulfilled. A part of which was to use a siwak, that is not fulfilled, so that remains. So similarly, what you are asking, it will be the half of the sunnah, meaning the sunnah of appearance, with the appearance of the eyes, in although wearing coal, that actually can happen. But the sunnah which was to put the coal in the eye, the sunnah in the eye, that would not be. And regarding that, people say that there is lead in there or this is not pure. In all the world, there are very fake medicine as well, they are fake money as well, but you don't stop using money or medicine because there are too many fake. Inshallah, if a person tries, he will get a pure as well. Inshallah, he can get pure surma as well. Yes, sir. Brother is asking about lahav. Lahav in the spiritual part, we refer to those matters which have no benefit in this world or hereafter. If it has some benefit in this world and hereafter, it is not considered lahav. A person can, a person is encouraged to take exercise, go for a walk, and actually sightseeing, or if he can relax in his munashid or Quran, the Kalawat, or see. So, the definition of love, lahu, would be in the tazkiyah terms that anything which does not have any benefit in this world or hereafter, but rather it has some kind of harm in it as well. That is called love. But if a person is, let's say, you are just sitting and poking with someone just to make them feel so that they feel good, that is not love folk as well. Because although you are poking, don't be considered love or useless. So, or you go out, you are sitting with your wife, she is in poking, of not very useful poking, but just start poking, but just to be the company and to fulfill her right there, to be in a company, that is even actually. Some ulama even actually went to the extent that the person was sitting with his wife, that they can delay Jama'at prayer. Not the view of majority, but some view is that as well. Because they consider it is such actually an act of virtue, and itself actually is a good act. So all those things like exercise, doing anything which gives you benefit in this world, physically, emotionally, mentally, and is lawful, and that will not be considered lawful. But to use it more than is needed, then it will come in. Now all the time you are asleep, using that, all the time a person is doing, and necessary things are being abundant, then that will become actually a hindrance. It's like the example was given to you of the salt. The salt actually, in some cultures, it actually improves the taste of the food. Some cultures they don't eat salt anyway, so it doesn't bother them. But some cultures, especially in the subcontinent, that they use salt to improve the taste of the food. So food which is doesn't have salt in them, it looks or it seems not tasty to them. It seems dull for them to eat, and so when they put salt, it becomes tasteful. But imagine that if they put too much salt, then again it will destroy the food. So there has to be a balance. So if a person has recreational activities, listening to nasheed, or he's doing exercise, or he goes to sightseeing and holidays, there should be a balance. It is up to the level that it refreshes you, not actually that you make that the purpose. So different companies, when you work for them, they give you breaks so that you can be fresh again, so you can relax little, and then you can work. But you can't have a 5-hour long break, because then actually you are on the other extreme, that you are having a 5-hour long break, then who will do the work? So similarly, yes, these things. But the main thing to remember is, just as a rule of thumb, see, has it got a benefit? It's lawful, number one. Number two, has it got any benefits of this world in it? And number three, any benefit that the day after? Alhamdulillah, that's fine. That's not actually seen, nor it will become hindrance for the person. Well, it's like sometimes people, they just sitting listening to nasheed or on the internet, they just want refreshment, let's see what's happening in the world. And then they become too much delved into it, they even miss their zikr, they even miss their prayer with Jama'at, and some guests have come and they're still hooked to it actually. So then really they are actually on the wrong side of it. Someone has asked question of the spiritual nature, really has not much to do with the tazkiya, where I just read it out. Some have said, does our drush benefit the Prophet ﷺ, or is it a pure blessing for us? So when we ask, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase his salat on the Prophet ﷺ? And some have said that drush is always accepted by Allah. Some even say without intention, even when said by someone whose heart is not in it, they say this is because Allah Himself is always sending salawat, hence to ask Him to send salawat is always accepted. Is this true? Well, it's like saying La ilaha illallah. More than the durush, even that is La ilaha illallah, when someone says it is a true statement. You are saying that Allah is always sending durush. And if I say without intention, with ghafla, it still will be accepted because Allah is anyway sending the rushd. When Allah is sending anyway, you are not getting the reward of it. Even if you don't send, Allah Swatah is still sending, but you don't get the reward of it. So similarly, a person saying La ilaha illallah, that is true. A person saying there is no God, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. The munafiqeen also said, that we say, testify that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُ لَكَاذِبُ. That Allah testifies they are liars. They are getting sin from it. Because their heart says something else, their hearts are in ghafla and they are seeing this actually. Their heart is something opposite and they are seeing something opposite with their tongue. Although the statement is true, La ilaha illallah. Was like Rasulullah said to Hazrat Abu Huraira, when he said that someone came at night and I actually grabbed them and they said, leave me, I tell you a very good thing, leave me, don't actually catch me, don't imprison me. And I said, okay, tell us, tell what good thing you want to tell. And Hazrat Abu Huraira said that this person said, if you recite Ayatul Kursi, you will be saved from Shaitan. So when Hazrat Abu Huraira came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mentioned this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this was Shaitan. He said, he is a liar but he spoke truth. He is a liar but he spoke, what he said is true, but he still remains a liar. Hai jhoota lekin baat sachi hai, baat sachi hai. A person says la ilaha illallah is not with the heart, iqrarun bil lisan, tasdeequn bil qalb, can't be accepted. Similarly, durood shareef, that person, when we say that that person will get reward or not, he won't get reward for it, although it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still sending durood shareef. So Rasulullah is receiving the blessing, but the point of acceptance is point of, from the point of view of this person, is it accepted or not? So it's not. He's not with the right intention and with he less harm. Does Rasulullah benefit from the durood shareef, from our durood shareef? No. Rasulullah does not benefit from us actually. Everything Rasulullah benefits from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The durood shareef is a dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit Prophet Islam, give him more blessing, and Allah can benefit Rasulullah, not me. Without the Ushim, Rasulullah does not benefit because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already actually sending. So that is true in the second question which is addition. Then, no, Prophet Islam does not benefit from us, rather Allah does benefit. A person has asked coffee and other some fizzy drinks, confectionery goods, chocolate, and certain they contain certain alcoholic. They are they permissible or not? Some scholars say long as the alcohol carrying agent isn't which derived from date or grape is permissible according to the Hanafi fiqh. Such companies admit to this. Having other scholars strictly oppose this, saying that this, anything which contains alcohol, even a small quantity which intoxicates indulgent in haram, which is the better choice. Better, according to, as you have written yourself, according to the Hanafi scholar, this is permissible actually. And also to others, because they said many of the companies. It is such amounts that which are, very fractional amount they use or any that sense of alcohol and intoxicant can even be developed in bread as well. That level is so low level. So the ulama are flexible on that. So a person should, as I said last time, haram is bayyan, halal is bayyan. Haram is clear. Halal is clear, and then there are things in between. Firstly, a person, we should stop from the very clear haram thing which we are doing, like claiming unlawful benefits, or actually claiming unlawful insurance claims, or just judging people, and or doing all other things which are clearly wrong, which we know as well. We try to abstain from that clear haram, adopt the clear halal, and these things in between. If a person can stop, it is a matter of taqwa. But first a person should abstain from the clear haram, then come to these things. Because otherwise, you might be committing riba during the day and you're thinking about, has this got a small amount of alcohol according to Hanafi, is allowed or not, and you are eating the meat of the people over the day. So what kind of person you are? So that's what Mashaykh says, and that's what I said, يُحِبُّ وَيَأْبُوَ رَحْمَ رَقِيهِ مَيْتًا. That you mean you want to eat, you like eating the meat of your dead brother. So some of the sins are like this. We are doing them even without thinking and asking about where ulama have difference. I say to you, if the ulama have difference, the Hanafi or other ulama, any person who will follow any view, inshallah, will be forgiven, at least following the view of Mujtahideen. But people are today even engaged in clear haram and clear halal things which they are not actually doing a clear haram thing which they are not understanding. We should try to follow that first.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
A person has asked, the person who enters a purification program and is doing the zikr, and they also have been prescribed the zikr by another pious person, should they do the both zikr or skip one? Well, if the zikr is of two kinds, if it is two programs of purification, only a person should do one program at one time. So, if a person is doing a spiritual program of purification, and the zikr which is prescribed, they are doing in that, and other zikr was told just for barakah by any other pious person, he said, read this 500 times, 1000 times, read this, or increase the praise, or getting rid from illnesses, or just for reward, that type of zikr a person can carry on if any other person tells us that. But the zikr which is specifically related to tazkiyah, that only should be done for one person only. Because then it's like being under the supervision of two doctors, taking the medicine of two doctors. But if you take the medicine of one doctor, other people just give you a gift of apple, some give you a gift of banana, you take the hunger, there is no harm in there. So other stars are like that. Therefore, reward, barakah, blessing, you can do, anyone tells you, you can do, mashallah. But the zikr for tazkiyah, only one doctor, under the supervision of one doctor, treatment of one physician at any one time. If you don't like that physician, just go completely and change other physician. But check before, they have some medicine and also some program as well for cure as well. If not, you just go, and at least then there is nothing there. How to approach a person who do dawah, who does not follow a mazhab? Very easy. All things which you have mentioned here mostly has nothing to do with fiqhi mazhab. For example, I have put a condition there, in the fourth condition, that one of the conditions is fiqh or fiqh. He can follow any fiqh. If he is Salafi, he can follow his own fiqh, whichever he actually thinks is right. It has nothing to do with actually purification of the heart. Hasad is actually a sin in all fiqhs, and abstaining from the sins of eyes, ears, hands is sin in all fiqhs actually. So a person should say, not engage in fiqh. If you say that their brother, the Muslim Ummah is divided in so many different fiqhs. There are four, five. There is a Zahiri view, there is a Salafi view, there is a Ahlul Hadith view, Hanafi, Shafi. Let him do whatever he is happy with, but this tazkiyah is actually necessary upon every person. So even there, no one can disagree with that. Even that aside, the sects in Islam, even other religions can't disagree with it. Will Hinduism or Christianity or Jewish religion say that you should actually do commit the sins of the origin? Or will they say you should think evil? Even Buddhist religion, you can bring all these religions and ask these questions, they will all say we are against these things. The difference is only in the approach and in the aqidah and the fiqh and sharia. While the purification stages, first, second, third, and the fourth, and the ultimate aim, the pleasure of Allah, even the divine real religion can't disagree with that. They also say we want pleasure of Allah. We want to please God, that's why they are doing. Now that's a different matter, they made God someone else. So tazkiyah and purification course is such that even world religions can't disagree with the motives and actually the aims of the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
subscribe to the telephone text fee, which go best text that the Muslim brother takes to go. Or if you simply mark in the party, you get me a book of the not text for the creator of the searching text of the book. Yeah, he's in the back that he can party text that is like share.
Other extreme sometimes. Brother is saying that a person sometimes gets texts, like for example, people send texts like that if you recite such and such thing, you get this reward, if you do this, you get this reward. Should we accept it and just pass the message on, or should we actually do research and investigate where the message is coming from? Now, there are always one should check that where it's coming from, that is true. But if it's regarding fazail, if it's regarding things to do, you read Subhanallah, you get this reward, Alhamdulillah, you get this reward, these type of things have nothing to do with faith. So a person can accept that with this. Slight investigation, he can pass that message on if he thinks it's in the hadith or actually it's in the religion. Or you can text back to the person, please also send me the reference. And if he says no, let me know when you know, then don't text forward.
Very important message. The Sahabi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this shakhs ki namaz qaza hui ho, namaz qaza hui ho, or تعداد نہ معلوم تعداد نہ معلوم ہو تو وہ نماز کے آخر میں رمضان کے آخری جمعہ کے دن چار رکعت نفل ایک سلام کے سلام سے پرے ہر رکعت میں سورہ فاتحہ کا سورہ فاتحہ کے بعد آیت الکرسی سات بار سورہ کوثر پندرہ بار پڑھے اگر 700 کی نمازیں بھی قضا ہوئی ہوں گی تو اس کی کفارے کے لیے یہ نماز ہے اس پیغام کو پھیلائیں تاکہ
اور لوگ جہنم میں جا سکیں یہ بالکل رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم پر جو ہے الزام اور جو ہے یعنی غلط یعنی تھوپا گیا کہ بھائی حضور علیہ السلام ساری زندگی صحابہ کو نمایاں کر دیا بتایا کہ بھائی یہ جو فرض ہے زکات ہے نماز ہے بھائی یہ ادا کرنا پڑتی ہے تو یہ میں نے پہلے بھی یہ ماشاء اللہ پڑھا ہوا ہے علیہ السلام نے میں تو اب یہ جس طرح لوگ بھیج رہے ہیں کہ بھائی جمعے آخری جمعے کو چار پانچ نماز پڑھ لو سات سات دفعہ آیت الکرسی آپ کی 700 نماز کی یعنی نماز کی 700 کی نمازوں کی قضا ادا ہو جائے گی اور پھر اس کو ریلیٹ کرنا کہ حضور علیہ السلام نے فرمایا کہ یہ تو جھوٹی حدیث اور جھوٹ گھر کے نبی علیہ السلام کے نام لگا دینا جس کے بارے میں حضور علیہ السلام نے فرمایا کہ جان بوجھ کر جو ایسا کرے گا وہ جہنم میں جائے گا تو نالج کے بغیر آگے کرنے نہیں چاہیے تو یہ بالکل شیطانی بات ہے نبی بلکہ نبی علیہ السلام نے کبھی اس طرح نہیں فرمایا نہ اس کی یہ کسی حدیث میں ہے یہ بالکل کسی نے بت بنا کے اور حضور علیہ السلام کا نام لیتا کہ وہ لوگ وہ خام خام کو بڑا کر رہے ہیں علماء کا اور فقہا کا ویو اس میں ہے فضان نمازوں کے بارے میں ایسا کسی نے نہیں فرمایا تو بالکل صحیح کہہ رہے ہیں آپ ایسی باتیں کوئی بھی انٹرنیٹ پہ آ جاتی ہے یا آپ کے فون پہ تو اس کو تحقیق کے بغیر تحقیق یہ ہے کہ کسی عالم سے پوچھ لیں کہ بھائی یہ بات آئی ہے میں ٹھیک ہے یا نہیں اور کیونکہ آپ خود ریسرچ کریں گے کیا پتہ آپ کو بڑی دیر لگ جائے کیونکہ عالم مسجد کے امام ہیں جو کوئی پوچھ لیں بھائی ریفرنس دے دیں تو پھر آگے کریں ورنہ آپ بھی گناہ میں شامل ہو جائیں آپ اصل آپ آگے کرتے ہیں ٹیسٹ اس کو 100 بندے کو وہ ساری زندگی قضا نمازیں نہیں پڑھتے قیامت والے دن آپ کی نمازیں پوری ہیں اعمال بھی پورے ہیں اچھے ہیں آپ جنتی بندے ہیں وہ سارے 100 بندے کی قضا نمازیں بھی آپ پر ڈال دی جاتی ہیں بھائی اس بندے کی وجہ سے انہوں نے یہ بھی جہنم میں جا رہے ہیں اور وہ کہتے ہیں بھائی ہم جا رہے ہیں تو وہ کیوں نہ جائے جس نے ہمیں ٹیکسٹ کیا جاتا تو پھر بندہ ہم وہ بندے کو پکڑا سکتے
تو یہ تو کلیئر ہو گئی نا بات کے لیے جو عام فضیلت کے
باتیں بھیجتے ہیں وہ تو بھیج سکتا ہے, لیکن یہ جو
حدیث ہے یا مسائل خاص مسائل, یہ تو مسئلہ ہو گیا نا فقہ کا, یہ فضیلت نہیں, یہ تو مسئلہ فقہ کا. فضیلت والی بھی یعنی مجھ سے پوچھ لیں, ٹیکسٹ بھی ایک ٹیکسٹ بھی کر کے ہوگا نا, جب آپس پہ ریفرنس دے ہوں, اور اگر وہ کہے مجھے بھی نہیں پتا, مجھے آخر جا وہ شیطان پر بات سکوں گا, میں جب اس کا اصل موجود شیطان ہے تو پھر بڑا خطرناک معاملہ ہے. جب یہ تحقیق کے بغیر بات بالکل آپ نے بجا کرنا ہے Prophet ﷺ and the prayer of Rasulullah ﷺ, one can recite them. But they won't, they are not a substitute for tazkiyah, they are a substitute to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are just to, for extra blessings a person can receive. Yes. Imam Jazuli, who has written Dalail al-Kharati, his name comes in one of our Shajara Zaftariqa as well. Imam Suleiman Jazuli rahmahullah. And he written this, he had a tazkiyah program, a tariqa with as we are telling now, this he wrote actually just for extra blessing. So some people by mistake what they have taken, they even not taken tariqa of his, or no other tariqa they are on, and they day and night what they do is just read this, but with this actually the tazkiyah and other things do not happen. We inshallah finish. If you have any more questions, we will can ask after inshallah. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.